You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome into BetQL Daily Live, coast to coast on the BetQL Network, alongside Aaron Hawksworth and Joe Ostrowski, who will be by momentarily. I'm Chris Mack, and man, it was a weekend, and we've got a lot on the way. It feels like If I could get poetic for just a moment, new beginnings, right? We've got postseason starting in both the NBA and the NHL. We've got another week of Survivor in baseball to keep things moving forward. But most of all, it's draft week. It's draft week in the NFL. We are just a little bit more than 72 hours away from the NFL draft starting in Detroit Thursday night. And when it gets here, who knows what could happen. We've got ways to look at it, though. We've got bets on it. We've got some all-time busts as well as all-time bets to look back on in the form of the NFL draft. We'll do that in 20 minutes. Top of the hour, Scott Smith, the 4 for 4, with another update on what he thinks may happen, especially in the first round of the draft. As mentioned, updates on all of the postseason series that are up and running in both the NBA and NHL, as we've got game ones out of the way, MLB Survivor later as well. Join us live coast to coast on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube. Just search Odyssey Sports. Also, download that Odyssey app so you can take us with you wherever you're going, whatever you're doing today. Aaron, it is a big weekend for the NBA and NHL getting up and running. We can get into that, but the draft and the Commanders down the street from you are being tempted, it sounds like, into making another.
You probably want to play because when you're QB1, you get way more snaps.
I don't know who can hear that.
You just get way more options of playing time, but you just get so much more experience. And if you,
but it sounds like, oh, there we go. We're back. We're having more technical issues this morning. It happens from time to time, but we can't blame this on Aaron's laptop. It's all good.
Can we blame it on a bad case of the Mondays? Could we just move that segment up to here?
Move it right up to the top? We probably could.
That's happening right now.
It's going to be a case of the Fridays, which is not good in Washington's case. If they end up doing what a lot of people think they may end up doing, this could be bad. The odds for J.J. McCarthy at number 2 overall have moved from 20-1 to 12-1. We are officially up and running now, apparently. So welcome in if you're just joining us due to the early technical issues. This is BetQL Daily presented by BetMGM. Chris Mack alongside Aaron Hawksworth, Joe Ostrowski by shortly.
I'm here.
Get you ready for the NFL draft. He's here. He's here.
I can't see him,
but we can hear him.
Correct. Because, I don't know.
if things run in the Washington Commanders draft room on Thursday, anything like things are running for us the last couple of days with technical issues, then it'll be J.J. McCarthy, second overall, Joe.
What the hell? I mean, just when you thought, okay, that was the twist that we were saying late last week between the quarterbacks. Let's just enter J.J. McCarthy, your boy, into the mix. Like, you are going to have an aneurysm when we were talking about the idea of him going 11 or 12.
Yes.
Same thing, top five. Now two. This is what we're doing?
This is, Aaron, this move from 20 to 1 to 12 to 1. We've also got a Jason Lockenfora report on Friday saying, hey, you know, if Washington wants to lean into analytics, this may be the way they go. You know, if Cliff doesn't kind of run the draft room, maybe this is the direction they go. Aaron, they're not going to do this, are they?
I've got to think this is not going to happen, and it's going to be Drake May or Jaden Daniels all along. I wish I was listening to 106.7 The Fan to hear all the callers right now, because this is exactly what Washington needs to get fired up. They will be lighting up the phone lines all day long. That's what I thought maybe this was. Like, I know how to rile up this fan base. Let's let everyone believe that maybe, just maybe, J.J. McCarthy could be selected at number 2 overall, because that would really make everyone happy around here for a franchise that hasn't had a solid quarterback in like 20 years.
This is a disaster in the making. Your guy, Chris Russell, though, Aaron, from the Team 980 in D.C., told BetQL on Saturday on the Better Angle, Paul Aspen was there for this, that there is significant interest in JJ from the Commanders. Listen to this.
I had an assistant coach in the NFL tell me weeks ago, right around the time that of his pro day, said, hey, watch out for JJ McCarthy and the Commanders. They really, really like him. And then all of a sudden we found out, oh my God, they're meeting with him for dinner in Ann Arbor the night before his pro day. And that started all that speculation. So I would say this is still, in my opinion, a 3-horse race.
Wow. This can't be, Joe. This can't be a 3-horse. This has to
be. Wait. Why can it not? Why can it not be? Are the other two quarterbacks, May and Daniels, that much better?
Daniels is that much better than McCarthy, I think.
I would agree with you. I would go there. But
yeah, I mean, May, I think he's better, in my opinion anyway, he's better than McCarthy. Is it like head and shoulders? I could never draft this guy ahead of McCarthy. Maybe for me, again, it is. I'm sorry. I can't get on board with the nonsensical idea that the Commanders, after sitting on May and Daniels, trying to make this decision for how long, would just now finally come around and go, no, you know what? Those things we've been discussing for the last 2 months, 2.5 months, maybe longer. Nope. All wrong. We've got to go with, it's got to be J.J. McCarthy. I think this is full on smokescreen to see if they can't lodge something loose from somebody in the possibility of a draft day deal. Somebody who thinks, they might take J.J. And they smoke out whichever teams are really high on J.J. McCarthy in order to see what they're willing to give up to move up to get him in this odd dimension they've created, Aaron, where somehow people are willing to trade up for J.J. McCarthy. I think it's all lying season smoke and there is no fire.
I do too. And if it is true, have fun with that. This is a massive swing though, because the odds, you know, were cut in half basically. So it's people are buying into this. At least the sports books are to lower that number to 12 to 1. Something's got to be going on there.
One of the four is going to fall. That is what the history of the NFL has shown us. That, yes, once in a while, you'll go 1, 2, 3. You get three quarterbacks that are lined up, and then the next one to go doesn't go 4. They usually go around 8, 10, 11, something like that. 1999, you did go 1, 2, 3. Couch, McNabb, Akili Smith. Then Dante Culpepper and Cade McNown go 11, 12. Like, that's typically how it goes. You can go 2 or 3 very high, But the likelihood that you're going to go top four and, okay, Arizona's definitely going to trade out for a quarterback when you have some believe could be an all-time receiver staring them in the face, and that's a big need for them. I don't know about that. It's like, it's also which one's going to fall? Because one of them's going to fall a little bit here. I don't see one through four all quarterbacks.
I have a hard time getting beyond the first two being quarterbacks. And it's not just the New England Open for Business thing that they said last week, because that's similar, I think, to what we're getting from Commander's sources right now. Well, you never know. Could be this, could be that. I think that's New England probably just as much trying to smoke out any possible suitors for that third overall pick. But I think they're more likely to get an offer that makes sense for them moving back. And maybe they still get their quarterback at 8 or 9 or 10. And is McCarthy, like, I'm not saying J.J. McCarthy isn't going, I'm not going nuts and saying J.J. McCarthy isn't going in the first round or McCarthy isn't going top 10. I can still see that happening. But I think to your point, Joe, what I'd see happening is Williams 1. That's in ink. Write it in right now. Carve it in stone. Daniels 2 to Washington. This is all just a bunch of smoke to see if they can't get somebody to come out of the shadows and offer them a Ditka Ricky Williams type deal, like the entire draft for 2 overall. And then I think it really does begin at 3 because the Patriots may look to do something similar to what they did or to what Arizona did last year when they went from 3, moved back to 12, and then moved back up to 6. And New England still gets a quarterback, which Robert Kraft wants. They still get J.J. McCarthy. They go, oh, yeah, Michigan guy. Robert Kraft has fuzzy memories of another Michigan guy who once played quarterback there. It all works out for them in the end. That's where I think the maneuvering happens. I do think there's going to be plenty on Thursday night. Scott Smith of 4 for 4 is going to join us 1 hour from now, and we'll see what he thinks. Is this all just smoke coming out of Washington, or is this legit? Are they starting to question Daniels, May, McCarthy even at number 2 overall? Let's jump real quick, guys, into the game ones. Biggest takeaways from game ones in the NBA and a couple of Stanley Cup playoff game ones. I mean, maybe it's 13 goals in Winnipeg, 6 still not enough for the Avalanche to beat the Jets. Maybe it's Ant-Man on Saturday night going off. Maybe it's Dame time. Uh-oh. Could be Dame time, Aaron. Yep, Milwaukee may not be dead, because that's what it looked like yesterday. He's going to do what he can, Dame Lillard, to keep the Bucks in this thing.
Man, you just put that up on the tee, because that's where I was going, Chris Mack. The Bucks. Maybe this was part of Doc's master plan all along. Like, we'll just look terrible in the regular season, but I'm going to show everyone that we are coming to play in the playoffs. They took care of business. They've got a lot of veterans, so it makes sense that they could flip a switch, but dang, I was impressed with this Bucks team, a team that I've been saying I would fade. Fade in the playoffs, and here they are.
It's the obvious one, but it's something I just can't get back. While I don't want to overreact, because I still think we have, even though we had one close game, right, in the first 8 NBA games, that we're going to have a few that go 6-7 games. But the home teams, wow. We had all these series that we talked a lot about, coin toss series. I can't believe how close the money line series prices are on the majority of them. And typically in the first round, that is not the story in the NBA. But those higher seeds, many of them dominant at home. And while we do guard against overreacting with the sample size of one playoff game, there I would say, guys, half the series, I'm like, okay, I think this is going to be a short one. But the other half, I could see it flipping.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned all 8 home teams winning, 7-1 against the spread. Thunder, only one that didn't cover. It was a bigger number, though, 8.5 against the Pelicans. I don't want to take too much out of one game either. And that was my initial knee-jerk reaction. Like, I'm sitting there watching highlights yesterday morning after the Saturday night game ones going, oh, man, Anthony Edwards might be live for MVP.
Maybe
and I immediately go to the board.
Finals MVP.
And I immediately go and I'm this close to tapping the screen, right? I'm like, you dummy. He's still got to go through Denver and Boston if he's going to win that. And so I stop. I take a deep breath. But when you see performances like that in game one, when you see Dame Lillard drag Milwaukee. Milwaukee was all over Indiana from the start, propel them out to a big lead and then beat Indy. And you see a team like Dallas, who we all, I think, thought highly of. That was one of those series, Joe, that you mentioned. You know, that this one's definitely going deep. And the Mavericks just don't show up in the first half. Or maybe the Clippers overcompensated for Kawhi Leonard's absence. Not sure what it was, but we've got three game twos that we will look ahead to later in the second hour here on BetQL Daily. Magic try to bounce back in Cleveland, speaking of teams that got dominated in game one. Philly without Embiid, you would think, but who knows? Game two in the Garden tonight. And Lakers, Nuggets as well. We'll get into all those later. A case of the Mondays as well. Scott Smith in 45 minutes for his takes on the NFL draft. We give you some of ours, some of the biggest busts of all time. Oh, there are plenty of names out there. Who do we throw out at you in order to say buyer beware with the NFL draft now just 72 hours away? That's next on BetQL Daily. Live coast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Coast on the BetQL Network. It is BetQL Daily. Every weekday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, we got you covered. And this week, a big focus on the NFL draft, including some of our all-time favorite draft bets and busts in just a moment. Alongside Aaron Hawksworth and Joe Ostrowski, I'm Chris Mack. Scott Smith of 4 for 4 joins us at the top of the hour. What is the latest on the quarterbacks and where they're going to go and what the first 5 to 10, maybe 15 picks of this draft look like as the J.J. McCarthy smoke intensifies? A little more than an hour and a half from now, we got to play Survivor with this week's MLB matchups. We take a look at which teams have a shot to at least win 3, if not 4, and maybe go 6-0, as the Phillies did this past week. NBA series price updates an hour from now after some very lopsided, I guess is the best way to put it, game ones, and a case of the Mondays in 20 minutes, but look, there have been a lot over the years. You Google the lists, NFL draft busts, and, you know, they take you back to some of the classics. You know, the Tony Mandariches of years ago. Look it up, kids. That's a dated reference. But we thought maybe we'd try to limit it to just the last, say, 15 or 20 years, right? Let's maybe try to keep it to the 2000s. At least that's what I did. Nonetheless, we tried to look back here on BetQL Daily, Joe, to some of our favorite all-time draft busts, or maybe most surprising picks as well. Things that, had you been betting on it at the time, would have made you a little bit of money.
Damn. So I can't include a Jeff George, a Ryan Leaf?
Okay. Jeff George.
If we're keeping it 2000s.
Ryan Leaf's close.
Jeff George is a long time ago.
Jeff George is a long time ago, but, you know, the Illinois focus, I understand.
Yeah, yeah. you know, Rick Meyer, Notre Dame, and then the Bears trade for him because why not? You're a bust. Let's bring you in now.
This is all going to come back to Bears hate, isn't it?
No, but we leave out Akili Smith as well. God, the high draft bust, if it feels like they happen more often in the 90s than the last even 10 to 15 years. We have some, but not as often. Okay, yes, of course. I'll take the layup. You set me up. Trubisky. Yes. Mahomes on the board. Not interested. Deshaun Watson. Not interested. We're going to go with Trubisky. And, yeah. What else do you want me to say? Look at my profile picture on Twitter. It's still Ryan Pace because I haven't moved on. Okay. He's a bum.
You can't let it go. You can't let it go. Yeah. Aaron, what's the one that sticks out the most in your head? Because I have a whole bunch listed here, but just the one that jumps out the most, you go, I can't believe that guy went there. Oh, you're muted.
Damn.
Nope. System issues.
Laptop again. Laptop again?
Laptop again,
man,
maybe.
What's going on?
I don't know. Refresh yourself, and we'll see if we can't get air. But, like, it's quarterbacks often, obviously, because there's the most capital invested in them. Top 10 picks, most likely. And, look, McCarthy's going to be that guy this year for somebody. I've called that for weeks, if not months.
You need to stop.
Hopefully it's not.
What do you mean? All-time bust? He's going to be you're calling all-time bust.
He is this year's Kenny Pickett. He is this year's Kenny Pickett, Joe.
But that's just, you know,
a wildly
overdrafted
mediocre quarterback will end up being a backup within 3 to 4 years.
Pickett was 20th overall, man. You're acting like he's a top 5 pick.
I mean, that's still the middle of the first round, right? That's still a first round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aaron, yeah, you're stuck at the position. We spent a first-round pick on him, so we're going to give him a few years, and then you refuse to move on for some reason. Yeah, I get it.
Well, Adam Peters was involved with the Trey Lance situation, so it wouldn't surprise
me. There's a good one.
Crazy decision. But mine was going to be Jamarcus Russell. I mean, as soon as I heard about this assignment, how do you not go there? My dad's still in town, huge Raiders fan. There's plenty to choose from when it comes to the Raiders and bus. So
that's true.
Jamarcus Russell, I mean, that one would. Oh, remember the hype? You would have thought this guy would turn into a Hall of Famer. Complete bust. Did absolutely nothing for the Raiders.
He was big. He was somewhat athletic, right? He could move around a little bit, but had a huge cannon of an arm. And so you're right. As soon as this became a homework assignment for us, Aaron, like, hey guys, Monday, we really got to go over some of the biggest busts of all time to kind of kick off draft week. And we all immediately start to do a deep dive into the Trey Lances and Jamarcus Russells and Mitch Trubisky's of the world. Obviously, I had somehow never heard this story, and maybe you guys have, but apparently it's been well told. It's been in print. It's been on Rich Eisen's show way back in the day. Have you ever heard the blank DVD story with Jamarcus Russell?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Aaron, familiar?
I don't think.
Okay. For those that, like me and Aaron, just may have heard this story, may have never heard this story, and are just finding out about it now, this is amazing. So there was someone who Warren Sapp knew after spending his final season in the NFL with the Raiders. Warren Sapp knew somebody well in Oakland. It was a coach who, after meeting with Jamarcus Russell, this Raiders coach decided, you know what? We hear all the time about how Jamarcus Russell doesn't like to do his homework. Let's give him a DVD loaded with plays and ideas that he can take home overnight. During the second half of our meeting with him, he can give us his critique on all of these ideas that we had for him in our offense specifically. And so they hand him the DVD and tell him, hey, there's all kinds of great stuff on here. Take it home, watch it tonight. And when we meet tomorrow, if we could get your opinion, Jamarcus, on the stuff on this DVD, the plays, the schemes, everything on here, we'd love to sit down and go over it with you. And Jamarcus Russell takes the DVD, goes back to his hotel room or back home that night, wherever it was, and comes back to meet with the Raiders the next day and hands them the DVD back and says, you know what? I'm absolutely on board with everything on this DVD. I love the ideas. I love the concepts. Everything I saw on here, fantastic. Yeah, this is perfect. The DVD was blank. There was nothing on it, according to this story. Nothing. He didn't take it home and watch it. He didn't break any of it down. He completely BS'd the Raiders, and they still drafted him, Aaron. They still drafted him.
Wow.
Purple drank.
Yeah.
Marcus Russell, one of the all-timers. So is anybody going to bring up Bryce Young? Can we do that or no?
We're not there yet, are we?
Okay, I'm just asking. What did you see last year that signaled he's going to turn it around?
Nothing.
And I know it's unfair. He had zero weapons, awful organization, bad coaching, all of it. But I didn't see anything.
You're right about all those things. And as someone who thought Bryce Young would kind of grow throughout the year, despite the limitations around him, I'll just own it. Wrong. We're already starting to see the signs of a bust in this guy. And you know it because we're spending the entire offseason saying exactly the things you just said, Joe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've said it about all these guys before. We've said it about really every quarterback in the 2021 draft not named Trevor Lawrence, right? Well, but they didn't help the kid at all. Well, but look at the line in front of him. Well, but there weren't a lot of weapons around him. Wilson.
It's enough.
Fields. It's enough. Jones. Lance. Let's go back to 3 years previous to that. Maybe it's every three-year cycle, and we'll get it again this year. Sam Darnold. Josh Rosen. Same thing said about, well, nobody did those guys any favors. Look at what was around them. Or, oh, they didn't get a fair shake. Or, oh, this. Or, oh, that. We're starting to say the same things about Bryce Young. And it's only 1 year, so I'm not going to say it yet, but the signs are there that, yeah, he's going to be the next bust.
So foolish, because a lot of those same people, when talking about, we don't even have to say great, we could say quality quarterbacks, they raise the level of play of everyone around them. You find a way to make it work. Now, sometimes there are coaching mistakes. You have coaching situations where they don't really believe in the player. They're ready to move on to the next quarterback, or they're not, you know, building an offense around the quarterback, building around their strengths, leaning into that a little bit. Like, I've seen that plenty. Yes, that happens. But you know what? If there's something there, they're going to go to their next stop, and they're going to show you how wrong you were. How bad the coaching was, that when they do have some weapons, they can't compete. That's not a long list of quarterbacks identified as a bust. They move on, and suddenly it works.
The list is short of guys who go on to another place, Aaron, and then turn things around at that position. It's short, yeah. If not the like non-existent.
What is it? Yeah.
I agree. It's interesting how some of these quarterbacks, like you, there's a list of guys that were really good and had a lot of hype in college and then just did absolutely nothing at the NFL level. Whether it's they didn't get a fair chance or it just didn't work out, and it's head scratching. I think the RG3 one is a little unfair because the injuries he's made some people's lists as a bust. I don't know
if that's
exactly fair, but Matt Leinart was another one that stood out to me. That was a big one.
I just never expected anything from him with his weak arm, you know, and the talent he had around him. I just never had high expectations for Leinart.
Yeah, I was trying to think, and Paul suggested in the group chat somebody who did bounce back a little bit, and that's Ryan Tannehill. That's a fair assessment. You know, Tannehill went to Tennessee and with an offensive coordinator who managed around his limitations and had a great running back and quality weapons around him. You could say, yeah, Tannehill bounced back from it to an extent. But, like, you're never going to bounce back and completely fulfill the potential that was seen in you that you were a first overall pick or like a top 10 quarterback taken or even top 15. Like, you never bounce back. I'll even go so far as to include the example I gave off the top and pick it. Like, let's say Jalen Hurts, and Eagles fans don't want this, knock on wood, it doesn't happen. But let's say Jalen Hurts is out for an extended period of time this year and Kenny Pickett goes in for the Eagles, right, as their backup and, I don't know, helps them win more games than they lose in a very competitive NFC East, and they go to the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. And Kenny Pickett ends up leaving Philadelphia after a year and getting a job as a second-tier starter somewhere, right, where he manages things in someone's offense because it's a decent OC with a quality run game and balance and all this. He's still never going to fulfill the promise of what a first-round pick was supposed to be. Now, there are some quarterbacks who, a Pickett again, maybe even a Tannehill, you have reasonable limits on your expectations, Joe, even when they're drafted early. A guy like Bryce Young, a guy like, you know, Zach Wilson, for example, or Justin Fields.
Like 2021.
When you're drafted that high, Sam Darnold, when you're drafted that high, it's nearly impossible for fans especially, but organizations to put realistic limitations on their expectations for you.
As far as this year goes, and you just mentioned one of the names in that draft in Zach Wilson, and we've mentioned Trey Lance too. I understand why, and I know it's in recent memory, so it's kind of considering it, and we're talking about how many quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. Is it going to be 4 or 5 with the number set at 4.5? Doesn't this have the feels of 2021? You had Trevor Lawrence, the lights out number one pick, and that's what you have this year with Caleb. I don't know that either of them are going to be great, but it's not in question. And then you have a rush of other quarterbacks. That year, it was 2-3 Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. This year, we know the quarterbacks in question. And then there was a little bit of a fall off. And then the Bears thought they had incredible value by Justin Fields falling to them at number 11. And then the New England Patriots take their quarterback at number 15 and Mac Jones. Couldn't we see something like that this year where it's quarterback, 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 a little bit of weight, and then the fourth guy goes, and then maybe in the middle of the first round, it's Knicks or Penix. It might go that way.
It's a great comp. J.J. McCarthy, Matt Jones.
What if he goes to New England? What if he goes to New England and it happens all over again? The way the Patriots have haunted my nightmares for the last 2.5 decades, maybe that finally breaks the cycle. Scott Smith, a 4-for-4 at the top of the hour. What does he think of all this McCarthy talk? Is it real leading into Thursday night's first round? Coming up next, a case of the Mondays, maybe for some of those teams that lost game one of their playoff series here on BetQL Daily. Welcome back to BetQL Daily. Presented by BetMGM, live coast to coast on the BetQL Network alongside Joe Ostrowski and Aaron Hawksworth. I'm Chris Mack. In 20 minutes, Scott Smith, a 4-for-4 to talk more about the draft and how we suspect things would, could, might shake out on Thursday night and where there may be opportunities to make a few bucks based on how things are going to go. 1 hour after that, so an hour and 20 minutes from now, 11 a.m. Eastern, MLB Survivor angles for this week. If you were like some of us and took the Phillies last week, you were coasting by Wednesday night. You felt good. No worries. The Phillies feel good. 6-0 week for them. Where do you turn this week? NBA series price updates after some dominant game one wins. Just how far have the books pushed the numbers? And is there opportunity there before we look at the 3 game 2s that are on the slate for tonight, 1 hour from now? Let's air some grievances, as it were. Hawk, I don't know if you want to pick up your laptop and spike it off the wall. Joe, yeah. I don't know if you have anything. I'll start. How about this? I'll start.
Okay.
We've all had the joy at some point in our lives, maybe we haven't, I don't know, I've had it several times, of the most annoying thing in the world to fix, and it's for your kid, and you want to fix the thing for your kid because it's theirs, and you want to make the kid happy. There is nothing more annoying. I don't know if you guys can see this or not. My fingers are still stained. There is still grease on my fingers. I don't know if you can see it or not on some of the fingertips there. A bike chain. There is nothing worse than a bike chain popping off a bike. Now, this exacerbated by the fact that it's like in a little electric dirt bike scooter type deal. So I got to take the cover off of the chain compartment. And then I get in there and I see that something's bent. And I'm literally taking the claw end of a hammer and trying to bend it back. This was my Sunday afternoon. Bending it back. Oh, yeah. Mavs Clippers? No, I'm busy. Bending it back. And then grabbing the chain covered in that black grease that is still in my fingers. It's still there in some spots. I don't know if you can see it. Underneath my fingernails. Washed my hands several times. Scrubbed. Couldn't get it all out. Getting the chain back into place and then putting the cover back on and making sure it works and all that. There is nothing worse fixing something that seems relatively minute, Joe, than a bike chain popping off.
That is terrible. Yeah, it's awful. I feel like I've gotten... No, they ride the... The bikes are ridden not as often because now scooters are so popular. Yeah. It's just... There's always something else. It's always the next thing. But yeah, that's awful. You can't get the oil off. It's disgusting.
It's here forever. Yeah. I just have permanently stained fingers for the rest of my life.
Man.
They gotta grow out.
I don't look forward to that. I'm not trying to get these nails greasy.
Hold on. While I'm complaining about my kids, let me ask this. My son turns 11 later this week. His problems are of a bike chain variety. My daughter turned 15 last month. Her problems are of a fingernail variety. How often do you get your nails done, Hawk?
Like once a month.
Okay.
What should it be, Chris? Tell us. Enlighten us.
Longer than that for a 15-year-old. It shouldn't be every 2 weeks going back, making special appointments to get the nails fixed that break off. You're in the middle of softball season. I know you're at school right now and you're not watching this. At least I hope you're not watching this. Maybe they'll post it on Instagram to ensure that you'll see it later, Ava. You don't need nails in the middle of softball season, okay? All right. That's my
picture on Mondays, Greg.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Are they long? Because, like, that would hurt.
They're not super long. Like, you know, I don't know. I can't even. They look kind of like yours, I think. Like, they're not super long. They're not crazy.
What's that cost now? What's that?
It's like $50 each time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's minimum.
In my area, it's even more.
Oh, boy.
I'm actually.
Chris lives in West Virginia.
But speaking of kids and fixing things, there was this mysterious, disgusting milk smell in my car. So my dad and I have tried all kinds of remedies to get that out. I should have banned milk.
This car, yeah. Just burn it already.
Yep, go trade it in right now.
So I was trying to clean it. And it like having long nails can really get in the way. There's no way I'm playing softball and putting a glove over them and try to catch a ball or anything. I would try to deter her from that. That would be difficult.
I could try to deter her from anything. She's 15 and I'm her dad. She's a genius and I'm a moron for the next few years. Like, that's just the way life goes with a teenage daughter. So this is your future, Joe, a few years from now, not too far off.
Yeah, I think I'm already dealing with some of that, so I get it.
Like the Life 360 conversation that we had on Saturday night. Like, be prepared. That's going to happen.
You're going to be never even heard about Life 360.
Yeah.
I didn't
checking
even,
an
I didn't
app
know.
To make sure your kid is still where they say they are. And then
how many ways?
Yourself, well,
do you
they
have
could probably just leave their phone there and go wherever they want anyway, because teenagers do stupid stuff like that.
Right. I mean, we track with the phone. We track with the watch. Mm-hmm. What else?
The AirTags.
AirTags, yeah. I know a lot of people that put AirTags, whether it's in a watch, in a backpack, whatever, on their kid. Man. And so now it's Life 360. And what is that? How do you track that?
It's just an app on the phone. And, you know,
no, but what is tracking?
It's tracking their phone.
The phone? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So like I said, if they really want to, and teenagers do this all the time, I've been told by more experienced parents, they'll just leave their phone somewhere and then wander off and do whatever they want anyway. And
be like, "Hey, boy,
no, I
they
was
really want to
the whole time."
Yeah, but they're so attached. That's got to be difficult for them to do.
Yeah,
though.
That's true. It's like leaving a limb behind.
Yeah, pretty much. Man. All right. Look, I understand that there's an ump shortage and that a lot of lower level high schools don't even have umpires.
Something happened this weekend, didn't it?
And I can't stand the grown ass men that try to intimidate teenagers making a couple bucks on the side. But there are some bare minimums in life if you're getting paid, right? Like, you're learning on the job. I get it. I'm going to try not to go off. But, like, if you're an umpire, you need to know the count. You need to know how many balls, how many strikes, and be able to track that.
Join a union like Angel Hernandez, and you don't have to do any of this stuff.
If there are a couple times, I'm like, dude, you can't call ball at the just above the letter, below where the letters are, too high, and then waist too low. Like, you need some consistency, some semblance of a strike zone, because we're just guessing. And then one at the neck is a strike. Like, wait, what just happened in that last at-bat? Like, none of it makes any sense. My biggest grievance is when you are by yourself umping a big field, which, you know, for us is now 70 feet, and that's, you know, pretty decent size compared to where we were a couple of years ago. In most of those games, you have one umpire. If you're making a call at second base, can you move an inch? Can you, like, get in front of the plate? Like, pretend you're making some sort of an effort because everybody else got a better view than you. So anyways, that's my issue.
There was a bad call this weekend, wasn't
good,
there, Joe?
Good weekend overall, though. Good weekend
okay.
overall.
Okay.
No, we're good. We're good. It's just, come on, dude. It's like, come on.
How old was this ump?
We're 4-1. So it's a nice
start.
Yeah.
Oh, hot start. And he's still complaining about the umps. Look at this.
Much better than the last couple years. Because I'm able to laugh about it. I wouldn't probably even talk about it if I was upset. If yesterday did not go well, that'd be a big problem. It's good. We're sleeping more this year. So.
Boys are taking care of themselves.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Eating right. Getting in the gym. Extra cuts on
the
weekend.
Dude, we have like 3 injuries already. Like, are we going to make it through? The season just started.
How are these kids getting hurt? What are they doing?
All sorts of stuff. One's got a foot issue. One split his hand open on a grounder when we were playing in 40-degree weather on Saturday.
Wow.
One kid hurt his side sliding, and before that, a comebacker hit a shin. Like, it's...
Jeez.
Yeah. It's like, we've played 5 games. Like, we might not have enough players.
How ecstatic are the kids, though, that they've already won more games than the White Sox?
I know. Yeah.
Have you given them that Sox speech fans. Yet? Listen, you're halfway to the AL Central crown, kids. Don't let up now.
They played a lot more games than us. Yeah. God. What the White Sox.
We'll get into them in a little bit when we look at Survivor and simply just look at who they're playing and pick one of the teams that the White Sox
pretty
are
much.
That's become
pretty
a
much.
Strategy.
This week's tough.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a couple directions you could go, I think, this week, depending on who you've taken already,
right.
Obviously, that factors into it, too. But yeah, MLB Survivor, we'll get into that in a little more than an hour. I mean,
can I point out the BetQL Downtown Studios that I look up on the screen? Now it shows the Golf Channel and what occurred over the weekend, but let me just go on record that when I did walk in, it was Charmed. So I don't know what Paul...
Well, that's TNT. That happens when somebody leaves basketball on.
Oh,
You wake up the next morning, and you don't immediately turn Alyssa Milano in her prime off. I mean, I think you'd be silly to do that.
But somebody did, because now it's the Golf Channel. Was there a thought, oh, I hope Joe doesn't notice. Chilling Charmed.
Joe noticed.
Did you think I wouldn't?
Man, there better be, it's not like you didn't know what happened at the RBC this weekend. Scheffler dominated. Do you need to flip over to those highlights so quick? Joe was enjoying the view. What about the view of the NFL draft? What do we expect to go down Thursday night? Is all this J.J. McCarthy smoke real? Scott Smith, the 4 for 4, tells us next on BetQL Daily.